sprouting tiny green joy next to the dirty dishes, to see the indescribable glory of the aurora and cry tears of joy at its sheer goodness and beauty. Now, as I mentioned during the children's sermon, we said goodbye to Tupelo this week. And she was almost 18 years old. She was the first dog we adopted who actually came pre-trained as a husky, as a working dog. She taught our next lead dog, Yoshi, and many others that G means turn right and Ha means turn left. Tupelo was a wonderful, stubborn ball of sled dog energy who never missed out on an opportunity to run out in front as lead. She never also missed an opportunity to be the first one to relax on the couch. But as she grew older, she spent less and less time out in front of the sled and more time on the couch. But even at age 15, fully retired for a couple of years already, this was about 3 years ago, Tupelo once got loose from the porch while we were hooking up the working dogs. And right as the young dogs were taking off for a long run into the hills and two rivers, Tupelo felt compelled to jump out in front and run right alongside those lead dogs. She had so much joy on her face as she just went charging out there, her old bones taking her just as fast, if not faster, than the rest of the team. It wasn't until we were about a mile down the trail that we managed to stop the team, grab Tupelo, and put her on a snow machine, take her back to her spot on the couch. Even as Brenna and I mourn her loss, I still find joy in that memory. Old Tupelo delighting in being a lead dog one last time. Finding strength and muscles that she hadn't strained in years. God blessed Tupelo, and Tupelo blessed us and our whole kennel with God's joy. There's one takeaway from our scripture today. This is it. God is inviting us to tune out the noise of our busy human world that we keep building up around ourselves. God is inviting us to seek Him in the tiny and the great natural elements of His creation. God is promising us that we will find His joy when we do. The hills are full of His joy. The plants and the creatures are too. There's a correlation to this takeaway. Something to consider. If God is both present in creation, actively and lovingly caring for His creations with joy, creatures like us, then what does that say about us? The very beginning of our Bible, Genesis chapter 1, makes it clear that we are created in the image of God. We are creatures set apart from all other creatures. We are designed to be co-creators alongside our Lord and our Maker. God gifted us breath, gifted us life, and gifted us His only begotten Son that we might have eternal life, that image of God might be fully redeemed and restored from the sin that we find ourselves in. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, God also gifted us with the special responsibility to enjoy and take care of creation much in the same way that He does. This natural world is beautiful. It is rich with God's joy. It is a gift that God has granted to us. But it is also a responsibility. God expects us to delight in the natural world every day, but also to tend and to preserve it so that our children, our grandchildren, and their children will be able to enjoy and give thanks to God, finding the joy of God in it just as much as we do. But this beautiful natural world that has been trusted to us is in danger of losing much of its beauty. We might leave a world to our children that is in far worse condition than what we received it from our ancestors. Pollution, exploitation of natural resources, dramatically shifting climates all threaten the natural world as we know it, as we love it. Now, I know that at this point, some of you are asking, what about that joy? What about not preaching at us to do better? Or here he goes off on climate change. Before you raise up your defensive walls, I don't want to lose the heart of God's word that is working here. I want us all to focus on the joy of God, the joy of God that in Psalm 65 we know is poured out over all creation. We want to look outside and see creation continuing to radiate with that joy. I'm not in the pulpit today to tell you to recycle more, to donate to the right environmental charity, to reduce your carbon emissions. Those are all good things, but that's not what changes human hearts. And human hearts, inspired by God's Spirit, that's what changes the world. The gospel of Jesus begins and ends with grace. The natural world of creation, God's creation, begins and ends with joy. As you go out from this gathering of worship, go back out into the world of your normal routines. Listen to God's invitation. God is inviting you to fill your life with less noise and more joy. God is inviting us to linger outside long enough to hear the joy at the core of the raven's coo. God is inviting you to find the beauty of a 20 below morning. They're coming soon. God is inviting you to encounter the presence, his presence, the presence of the living God in the tiniest component of nature, and to rejoice, because that means that the infinite creator of the universe is present in your heart and loving you even more than he loves those tiny aspects of creation. Hearing God's invitation, stepping into that invitation, is an act of faith. So let's trust our God. Let's rest in his joy. Let us think about how the world and how God is inviting us not only to enjoy it, but to preserve it. Consider the little children sitting next to us in the pews, the billions of children growing up in the next 20 years. How can we enjoy and honor God by ensuring that these children will be able to hear God's joyful invitation just as we hear it today? How will we imitate our Father in heaven? How will we care for his creation that he has trusted into our hands? We begin by finding joy in the world around us. We continue by answering God's invitation to love and enjoy this creation. And we come full circle when we consider how to care for God's creation so that others will find the joy and the beauty in God's creation just as we have. Amen. Please stand for our